and welcome to another UHB Library podcast. I'm your host, Jenny, and I'm joined today by Phil, who you may recognise from our Living Library event episode. So welcome, Phil. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Nice to be here. Over a year since the last one. Time.
And so much has happened as well. Quite unbelievable, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you think of last year, what we'd be doing now.
Yeah. To be face-to-face, wouldn't it? And obviously, the good old days.
All about the technology now.
Absolutely.
So Phil's joining me today because in this episode we're going to be talking about Athens. So we've mentioned Athens in previous episodes when talking about our electronic resources, but we thought it'd be good to go into more detail and answer some of your FAQs as well. So Phil is our administrator for Athens, so he's joined us today as our expert. So first of all, could you just tell us a little bit about your administrator role?
Yeah, certainly. Basically, I looked this up the other day. I looked at the NICE Athens guidance, and to quote, the role of all Open Athens administrators is to control access to the electronic resources for their designated organisations, which is a bit dry, but that just about sums it up. Basically, I'm the first point of contact for anybody within the trust who's got an Athens account. And if they're having problems with an Athens account, they come to me. Sometimes they may have forgotten their password, or they don't know what the username is. Sometimes the accounts may expire and they don't get an email to say that they've expired, and suddenly they come to use it and they suddenly it's expiring. So they come to me. I am the first point of call. So what I can also do is when somebody sets up an account, I can approve new accounts if they use a non-NHS email. Most of the time they do need approving, so that's where I come in. If there's any new resources that we've bought locally or that have been bought nationally, I can add those to the Open Athens platform and cascade those down to our users. But mainly it is troubleshooting, just general problems about access.
I imagine that keeps you very busy as well.
It
we
does.
Have a lot of Athens users.
We've got a lot. I think at last count, I counted 3,700 Athens accounts, which is quite good. We are the biggest trust in the country, and that's reflected in our number of Athens accounts. So 3,700 or something like that. I mean, that's a lot of accounts.
Definitely, absolutely.
And you usually get at least one or two queries a day. Sometimes it can get really busy with queries. Sometimes it goes a bit quiet. But there's always something to be doing with Athens administration. Definitely just keep us busy. And also as well, when I'm not around, our colleagues can step in and they can become, sub administrators when I'm on holiday or whatever, or if I'm off ill, we can sign those up as kind of backup administrators, and they're usually kept quite busy with it as well.
That's right. Yeah. So there's always someone around to support, isn't there? Someone from the library team.
Absolutely. To help with Athens. It's really useful as well, as long as they've got the admin username and password, they can log in and they can troubleshoot problems themselves.
Brilliant. So we'll move on to the registration process. So I've seen for people who haven't got an Athens account yet, provide a bit more detail about that. So how do they register? Who can register as well? What details do they need for registering?
Yeah, well, basically anybody who's employed by the trust can register for an Athens account. So that's anybody from the cleaners, estates people, all the way up to the chief executive. Anybody who's got a contract with the trust can register for a UHB Athens account. That also takes in placement students as well, student nurses, student midwives, obviously the medical students as well. They're going to be on rotation. With the medical students, it's what they can do is, obviously, they're on rotation, and so that means they're going around different NHS trusts. So what they can do is when they move from UHB possibly to another trust, that account can follow them. And all they have to do then is contact the library within their new organisation. There's always going to be somebody who administers Athens, and they just approach them and say, can I move my account over to so-and-so, to my new organisation, and they do, and then they can start accessing their resources. And anybody who's employed by the trust, sometimes you might get the odd volunteer who puts a good case forward as well, so that they can have an Athens account, but it'd have to be a pretty good case. Yeah, it's anybody who's employed by the trust. Also, what I have noticed is we've had a lot more GPs registered for accounts as well, which is a bit strange because you think of GPs, they're out in the community, primary care mainly, within their practices, but they do work within the trust as well, so they can access Athens as well. As far as registering is concerned, you can do it online. I know we've got links to Athens on the respective library website, or if you just Google Open Athens registration, you'll find it as well. So yeah, you can go online. Obviously, if you're in the library, you happen to be passing by one of the site libraries, and you think, oh right, I want to register for an Athens account, you can actually pop in on a personal visit, and one of our colleagues will just point them to the correct page, and they can register there and then. So it's dead easy. It's really easy to register for an Athens account. As far as details, what do you need when you are registering? Obviously, the form will need your personal details, your job role. Also, as well, there's a kind of, at the end of the form, there's a kind of contract end date, temporary or permanent. So if we try and say to, say, the medical students is, when you are registering, just click the temporary radio button, because then that'll kind of bring up the calendar widget, and they can actually put in the end date of their placement within the trust. And so that makes it easy for when they move on to pastures new to new NHS trusts, and the new trust can take up the membership from there, as I mentioned earlier on. Also, now, probably the most important thing you're going to need is an email address, because what happens is when you register, you instantaneously receive an activation email. If you've used an NHS email, a works email that's NHS, or NHS.net email, that's great. You know, you'll see it come straight through to your inbox. If you've used, this is perfectly okay, you can use a non-NHS email as well. What sometimes happens, though, is that kind of the activation email might disappear into the person's spam. So you have to check your spam as well sometimes, because the activation email might kind of disappear into there. Then when you get the activation email, you just open it up, you click the activation link, and then you're prompted to create a password. Your username is automatically generated by the system. And so you'll see a username there on the email, and then all you're prompted to do is create a password. And then once that's done, you're away. You can start using it straight away. Sometimes with the non-NHS emails, although I do notice it does happen with NHS emails as well, sometimes they might come to me for approval. How quickly can users get an account? Well, as I said just now, it's straight away. Just click the activation and the activation email, and that's it. You're away, and you can start using the resources straight away. So it's we've made it as easy as we can.
So I think Athens might be one of the most straightforward registration forms I've ever seen. It's really easy.
It is. Yeah. When you come to where it's got, sometimes people might type in the wrong organisation when it comes to the organisation field of the form, and it does happen. You know, like they might. It's not their fault, you know, they might choose a completely different organisation, and it goes off to one of our colleagues in another NHS trust, and it turns up there. But yeah, what we've tried to do with that is, if you type in Queen or Heartlands or Solihull, we've linked it to the trust, to the organisation. And so if you type in Heartlands Hospital, for instance, you'll see it in the drop-down menu. You can choose Heartlands. You don't have to keep typing at University Hospitals Birmingham NHS Foundation Trust. So that saves a bit of time as well. Or type in Solihull or Good Hope or whatever, or Queen Elizabeth. You'll see them in the drop-down menus. Just choose them and you're away. But it's a very easy, basic form to fill out. It's another form to fill out. I know people fill out dozens of forms all the time, but it is an easy one.
Perfect. And for when people have an account, how long does it tend to stay active for? And then when they want to renew, how do they do that?
Okay. When you actually register for an Athens account, the account itself lasts for 2 years and 3 months. What also is in there, this mainly applies to the medical students, but there's something else as well called an eligibility date, if I can say that. So you register, your account's there, it's 2 years, three months, that's fantastic. But then there's an eligibility date, which is automatically generated by the system. And that eligibility lasts for 2 years for everybody. But why they've included that is because, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, medical students are on the move. You know, they rotate, they go to different organisations. When they leave UHB and they move on to the next one, basically, we can set their eligibility date to when to how long they are within the trust. So they register, the account itself lasts for 2 years, 3 months, but their eligibility might only last for, say, 3 months. So we just mark it down as 3 months using the eligibility date widget, or they can do that themselves. But this also applies to people who might be on, they might be full-time employees, but they might be on temporary contracts. So what we'd ask them to do is kind of mark the end of your contract date as your eligibility date. And obviously that's subject to change, contracts change. And if you find that your eligibility date needs updating, that you've got a bit more time with the trust, no problem. We can just change that for you using the eligibility widget on the account. So, the accounts last for just over 2 years. When it comes to renewing, what should happen is an account holder should receive a reminder email to say that it's usually about it's a good period of notice. It's about 3 months or something like that. They'll get an email saying your account is coming to an end. It's expiring soon. Do you want to renew it? Because you won't be able to access any of our resources anymore. Invariably, that's when they contact me because they don't know what they're doing. And they say, Phil, can you renew my account for me? And I'm happy to do that. Sometimes what happens with people change their emails, you know, like halfway through, you know, like the account life. And sometimes that as I said, they change their email and they forget that they haven't changed the email on their account. So it kind of goes to their old account, to an email address that doesn't kind of work anymore or doesn't exist. So that happens occasionally. But invariably, you know, like people do kind of, you could get in touch and saying, you know, like, can you renew my account for me? Also, as well, when people have, they might register for an academic course, or they've got a bit of research to do, then they find new interest in what Athens can offer, and then they remember that, you know, that their account, and have I still got it or not? And they contact me, and we can see whether that they can still use it or we have to renew it. Also, as well, new employees, if they're on the ball, they might already have an Athens account from their previous organisation. So when they come to UHB, they can say, Phil, you know, I think I've got an account from a previous job role, but I can't remember my username and blah, blah, blah. And that's what I can do then is, on the admin side, is do a kind of nationwide search on NHS England and Wales. You can see everybody's accounts within England and Wales, and you can actually see whether that person has got a previous Athens account. And so it's just a case then of getting in touch with the administrator from their previous organisation and asking them politely to kind of change it over to UHB. I can't do that. It's the person from their previous organisation. They have to do that for us. And then once it's in our domain, then we can kind of alter the details if they've updated their job role and anything else that needs renewing, basically.
So people who have come to us from another trust, if they're new, so with their Athens account, it's best, if they have one already from their other trust, it's best to contact you first.
Absolutely.
They haven't got to sign up as a new registration.
No, because what we don't want is people going around with two accounts, because it gets a bit confusing. So if you have got an account from your previous job role, just tell us. And we just get it moved over, as I've just mentioned. It's no problem at all. It's just an email, and then our kind of counterpart in the person's previous organisation will just let me know, so I feel it's been moved over, and so that person can start using UHB Athens resources. Can happen sometimes is there might be a clinician who's got a kind of dual role. So they might be employed by UHB, but also as well, they're still holding down employment with another organisation, and they don't want to lose contact with that other organisation's Athens resources because it could have something there that's unique to that organisation. We might not have it. And so if they make a special case, we can actually say, all right, we'll keep your old Athens account from this organisation and you can kind of come over. We can register for a secondary account with UHB as well. It happens occasionally, but people, if they've got a good enough case, we can kind of allow for that. We can accommodate that. Yeah.
No, thank you. That's good to know. So in previous episodes, we have had a look at some of our electronic resources. So we've done episodes on Dynamed and Clinical Key, for example. But there are many, many more. We've got quite a list of very different electronic resources. So all quality evidence-based resources. Yeah. Just mention a couple of others, and Phil, if you want to jump in with any recommendations as well. So I was just going to highlight, first of all, BMJ case reports, which is one that we've actually just recently resubscribed to. We've got it till March 2022.
That's correct. Yeah.
So it's a way to access, obviously, case reports, BMJ case reports. So it covers both common and rare conditions. But I highlight it as well because if you are interested in submitting a case report to be considered for publication, the library does provide a fellowship code. So if you are interested in that, if you want to get in touch with your site library, and we can provide that information to you. Yeah. And there's lots of information on the case report site about how to submit, but you come to us for a fellowship code, or if not, say we have case reports there, so you can just go on and have a read. And we have had staff submit, haven't we? There are UHB staff on case reports. They do get through.
Oh, yes.
They do like us.
I know you probably do this as well, Jenny. I know I did when we used to do the old face-to-face inductions. I would say to the medical students, you know, like, make use of this because, you know, you've got to seem to be kind of improving and, stretching yourself as a clinician. And a lot of they do take advantage of that. Yeah, definitely. It's a very popular resource.
Yeah, and it is indexed on Medline as well. So it does get quite a range. So we have had, I did an interview with BMJ on best practice, and they did do a bit on case reports, but I thought it would be good to highlight it again. It's just because we've very recently renewed it. And I don't want people paying a fee to submit when we could offer it them for free.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's getting people to, you know, obviously if they're familiar with our websites, they'll see the resource there. It's all about promotion at the end of the day. I think invariably people, when they think of these resources, they do think of the library, and we're usually the first port to call for people. But yeah, it's getting it out there. It's letting people know that we've actually got it. Absolutely.
Yeah, and then another one I wanted to mention as well, which is also quite a popular one, is Anatomy TV. So this is a really good source for mostly for multimedia. It has 3D models of the anatomy. That's their big resource on there. But it's got dissections and MRI scans and videos, images, all different range of multimedia on there. So it's really good as a teaching tool, as a revision tool, I mean research as well. And you can use those images in a trust presentation. So as long as they're internal and you're not charging for them.
Yes.
It's a way to access images.
Yeah.
That you might need for those.
Yeah, I mean like you can play with Anatomy TV all day. I know sometimes I have, strip away the layers, and you know you've got somebody's skull, and like you can add layers and take them away. As you say, the images are absolutely pinpoint clear. They really are sharp images. If you've got a good browser, it's one of the best resources around. There are YouTube videos out there on how to use it, and as you say, Jenny, you can kind of use the images yourself for internal presentations. You can set up folders as well with, you can make, create your own library of images. I think the most enjoyable aspect, as I say, is it's just stripping away. So you can click away and you can add layers to whatever part of the anatomy it is and take those away. And the images are absolutely pristine. It really is a good resource. We've got it for life. We've got it for life because we took out subscription to it. I can't remember how many years back now. And I think we tried to renew it some years back and we were told, now you've got it in perpetuity. So we've got it for life. I mean, long may it last as well because it's an excellent resource.
Yeah, and it's really, like you said, it's quite flexible. Like the 3D real-time section, you can create bespoke models. So you can go through an ad and take away all the different layers of the anatomy that you wanted to create your own. Could get some very interesting models.
Yeah.
But they have got that flexibility.
Yes, absolutely. I would say use it in something like Google Chrome or something like that. It's okay in Internet Explorer, but I think Chrome is the one that really suits it the best. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Was there any resources you'd like to highlight, Phil, from our Athens list?
There is e-learning for healthcare. Actually, that has got quite popular recently. E-learning for healthcare. This isn't something that we've bought in ourselves. This is what I can explain is obviously a lot of our resources on an open Athens are locally. We're very lucky. We've got quite a generous budget, and so we are able to procure some really good resources. But sometimes you might be working for an organisation that hasn't got any. I know many years ago I worked for Dudley Public Health and we didn't have a big library budget, but we did have access to Athens. We had access to something called the Core Collection. We muddled through with that. It was great. What we would have done without that, I don't know. So if you're working for an organisation and the library hasn't got any money at all, you've still got that Core Collection of resources. And obviously e-learning for health is one of those core resources. So that's provided by, I can't remember the name of the organisation that do provide it, but basically you kind of go to your Open Athens resources, click on the link for e-learning for healthcare, and there are a lot of courses on there aimed at clinicians, at nurses, at midwives, and there's also management stuff on there as well. You can do management courses. It really is an excellent resource. As I say, it's a third-party website, so when you click that link, it takes you off to the e-learning for health thing. There is a kind of secondary registration process with e-learning for healthcare, but once you register for that, then you're away. You can start doing these courses. Great for your CV, great for your personal portfolio. I've done a course on there many years ago. I did a management thing on there. It is a very good resource, and it's just there. It's free. It's just waiting for you to be used. It's a great old resource that you're learning for healthcare.
And especially with people at home working, remote working, it's another way to access. So much training is now online, and it's another resource you can use.
Yeah, absolutely.
To update skills.
I mean, obviously, we're all kind of progressing as we go along. There's always something to be learned. We're always learning. And obviously, in the present climate as well, if you are doing some kind of academic course, invariably it's going to be virtual, you know, some of the lectures are going to be virtual. You're probably not going into university, you know, or if you are going, it's very rarely. So why not just do a course on e-learning for healthcare, and you can do it that way. Many resources on Athens, as I say, we are quite, we've got a generous budget, and if there is a resource, if there's anybody out there listening and they think there is a resource that they've used before that we haven't got within our Athens resources, please make a recommendation, because we're always happy to hear about new resources and obviously if the budget's there and we think it's compatible with Open Athens, if it is compatible with Open Athens, then we're happy to include it within our collection of resources, because it's growing all the time, you know, and as you say, Jenny, it's all good evidence-based stuff. It's all there for you. You know, you don't need Google. You know, it's all there.
Well, that's a good point. And we have, like recently we've purchased, well, at the start of the year, we purchased, I think it was 3 new journals, and they were based off recommendations from departments. So please do get those in. We can have a look. It might be we can provide it, or we can do like a shared, can't we? So sort of shared budget to fund it, or yeah, absolutely pass that in. And we've got a really good resources team that can look into that.
Absolutely. Another example of a national resource that we've added is recently is Cortex, that collection of e-books. It's called Cortex, K-O-R-T-E-X-T, I think, Cortex. We've just recently added that. We've cascaded it to users. You'll see on your Open Athens platform. Large collection of e-books, some really popular titles amongst clinicians and the nurses, midwives, allied health, some great books on there. And it's free, you know, they've been purchased for us. And so we're happy to add those to the Open Athens platform for people to use as well.
It's good you mentioned it's with a K, because I was going to say the Athens list is in alphabetical order, but it's Cortex with a K, isn't it, for this one? So look at K, not C.
Might catch somebody out. I'll be looking under the sea.
But yeah, we've got Cortex, we've got eBook Central is another one.
Yeah.
And we did purchase an ebook collection. Originally, it was to support Aston University students, but again, it's on Athens, so anyone can use it. Any other students, any staff at the Trust can use that as well. So we've got three quite big ebook collections. And Clinical Key, as we mentioned in our previous episode, that does also have access to Elsevier ebooks. So we've got quite a few really on there. There's quite a lot of choice.
Absolutely, yeah. I know you might have mentioned these before, but we've also, people may have heard of these. We've got Dynamed, we've got BMJ Best Practice, we've got Clinical Key. These are really key resources, and I know people, when I pull the stats off at the end of the month, I look at them, and people are looking at these. You know, look, we're not buying them and they're just sitting there. People are using these resources, and it's good to know, because obviously they're all evidence based, as we keep saying, and it's good to see that people are actually making use of them as well. But yeah, we've got some great resources on Open Athens. Please make use of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I think that brings us to the end. Thank you very much for joining us, Phil.
Thank you, Jenny.
So if you do have any queries about Athens, so Phil is your man. So your email's on the Athens account, isn't it? Or they can search Philip O'Reilly on the Outlook directory.
I'm on there. I'm on Outlook if you kind of contact Heartlands Library as well. If you ring 0121-424-0629, I'm there, you know, Mondays and Fridays at the moment. But if you ring during the week, my colleagues who are actually in the library, that they will pass any queries on to me. So I'm there, I'm on the VPN. So I'm always picking up my Athens queries, which I'm happy to deal with.
Fantastic. So I hope we have encouraged many of you to either register for Athens, or if you're already on Athens, have a look at some of the resources we've mentioned. We hope you find it really, really useful. And as we say, if you have any queries, contact Phil, or if you have any suggestions for your resources, just get in touch with your site library, and we'll pass those requests on to our resources team. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.